I'm going to invite Frank to speak in a moment. I've put my teeth in. But first, Lisa's going to come and read the Bible passage for us. Thank you.
Second Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God and Father and the Christ Jesus our Lord. Encouragement to be faithful. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded, now lives in you also. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life, immortality, to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle as a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I am entrusted to him and for that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lisa. Shall we give her a little ripple of applause? Thank you so much. She's a superstar. Thank you. Frank, would you like to come? Shall we pray for you?
Oh, yes,
please. Be rude not to, wouldn't it?
Father,
I want to thank you so much for the man of God, for the wisdom that he brings from a life lived for you, a life lived in faithful service and humble obedience, and that what he brings is from the riches of that experience, not just the word, but Holy Spirit, come and anoint everything that he says, that we would receive it, that we would hear what you want to say to us, that we would receive that wisdom for our own lives. And Lord, we just thank you, we bless him, we bless Sylvia, and invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and take these words and make them real and alive to us, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Suzanne. Investing in our children. And I have been given the wonderful blessing of looking at that subject in the context of Timothy. I was just sharing with Tim afterwards. I got Timothy, and there's a whole letter was written to him, so a terrific amount of resource, and there's some insights into his early life. Tim's got Jeremiah next week. Which, you know, just want to pause for a minute, because there's something pastoral that goes off in me as I'm thinking of this subject. And I just want to reference that first of all before I unpack a little bit of 2 Timothy. That is, when we do a series that is thematic, so it is, we've got a subject, investing in your children, it can do a couple of things. It can make one group of the congregation incredibly excited, because that's a subject that's important to them, investing in our children. But it can have the effect of making another part of the congregation think, not again. We've got to go through, you know, because that's not where I am. Then there's another aspect. As each week goes on, we see from the Word of God how we should be as parents. And we're thinking, hey, I missed out. I didn't do that too well. And if you're in that glorious state where I am, that the children have grown up and have gone, you're thinking, that's a missed opportunity. And that can be a challenge. There's a word up there. It's grace. It's grace. And no matter how we've journeyed and what mistakes we've made, God is a redemptive God. And he works through those mistakes. And then I want you to see the breadth of this subject. After the talk this morning, somebody came up to me and we were chatting together and they said, I'm single. I've never had any children. But I've got four spiritual children in different parts of the world. One is in so-and-so, one is in so-and-so. And we talked about emailing and communicating. And I thought, the Lord bless you. This isn't just about parents and those working with children. It embraces all of us. The grace of God in it. So let's see where we're going a little bit this morning. I've got the blessing, as I say, of Paul wrote to Timothy, and the second letter is quite personal. So we get an insight into the dynamic of the relationship between Paul and Timothy. It goes along, and just about the third line down there, fourth line down, he says, to Timothy, my dear son. Now, Paul was a single man. And he was going on his mission journeys, and he got to a certain point and he met with Timothy, and he says to Timothy's parents, can this young man come with me? And something happened there. There was a spiritual relationship, spiritual parenting. They were bonded together. My dear son. Have you ever written to somebody who wasn't your son or daughter, or you were single, and you wrote to my dear son? Just think that's where Paul was. So I thought that would be a good one to look at. And then going a little bit further down, let's just put them over there for a moment. The next thing I want to pick up on is, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived with your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And so here we move from a discipling relationship to see the background of a godly home. Lois, a grandmother. You've got to think this letter wasn't written very long after Jesus. So Lois, a grandmother, almost certainly a devout Jewess who was looking for the Messiah. And had shaped her life around that faithfulness and shared with her grandson in that environment. And then Eunice was a devout Jewess that had found the Messiah. And that was an influence, a powerful influence around Timothy's young life. And then the third thing I thought we could just look at there for a moment is right at the end there where Paul says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. That's an interesting dynamic that we have between Paul and Timothy. So Timothy had the incredible blessing of having Paul as his spiritual dad, a spiritual home with a godly mother and grandmother, and he had a dynamic spiritual encounter. So as we think about investing in our children, and we're looking at the model of Timothy, here are three aspects that are involved in the development that were invested into Timothy. Now, here's a point. Not one of them is about church and children's work in church. So when we look at the subject of investing in our children, it's far, far bigger than thinking about the children's work and its importance in this church. It is important, but the subject is a lot bigger. And as church, we need to think about that and the facilitating of investing in our children in these wider concepts. And one other comment before I sort of look at each one individually, and that is just thinking of this. And as I was meditating on the three areas, the word koinonia came to me. Anybody here to help me? Somebody know? What does koinonia mean? Ooh. Come on. Fellowship. That's right. Fellowship. It's the Greek word for fellowship, but it's sort of a well-known word there. Fellowship. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about fellowship. We're talking about relationship. In the home, is it good fellowship? Is it good relationships between parents and children? And in discipling, we're talking about the relationship, the fellowship. It's interesting in Second Acts, where there's a summary of the church as it kicked off, as it started. It says that the church devoted themselves to the fellowship as well as the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. In fact, teaching without fellowship can lead to legalism. Teaching without fellowship can lead to legalism. If there's a relationship there, and it's about a relationship. So fellowship is over all. And as we think of the church fellowship, young and old need to be in fellowship, that the grace of God flows through. So let's just look at what Timothy experienced. Am I stretching a point by just taking that phrase to Timothy, my dear son, and talk about discipleship? No, I'm not. What follows, you see that Paul says, and I pray for you constantly with tears. I'm praying for you constantly. Hands up, how many of you have cried over your children? And Paul was doing that in his love and in his prayers. He was a spiritual dad to Timothy. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15 says this. Even if you had many teachers in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I have sent you Timothy, my dear son, whom I love. It's fascinating that Paul, in his journeys and working with various churches, when one church was going off the rails and there were difficulties, He didn't send a set of teaching. He sent his son, Timothy. Because he knew that it was about relationship as well as teaching. I love discipling. It's, for me, the core of church life. And frequently, when I've talked about the subject, one of the questions I get is, what material do you use? What courses are available? And whilst material and courses are good, I've got to say again, it's about relationship. It's about sharing your failures and mistakes and what you learnt out of them. It's about putting an arm around the shoulder and sharing the pain. It's about telling your story to infuse and excite the next generation. It's about envisioning from what you have touched of God into that next generation. Discipleship. Godly home. I'm going to show you a video clip. This is the atmosphere and the background for Timothy.
Protect and defend you. May he always shield you from shame.
May you come to be in Israel a shining name. May you be like Ruth and like Esther. May you be deserving of praise.
Strengthen them, O Lord, and keep them from the stranger's ways.
May God bless you and grant you long life.
May the Lord fulfill our Sabbath prayer for you. May God make you good mothers and
may
wives.
May he send you husbands who will care for you. May the Lord protect and defend you.
May the Lord protect and defend you.
May the Lord preserve you from pain.
May the Lord preserve you from pain.
Anybody recognize that? Fiddler on the Roof. A small Jewish community in Russia and Siberia. And their faith was maintained because it was deeply invested in the tradition of the family. One of the things that's happened in Christendom is that we've moved away from that strong emphasis and we have rooted so much of the spirituality of our faith in the church and the church meeting and not so much in the family. But the family is the key place. I love that prayer. There are two sets of prayers. That one was just carrying the one for the daughters in the family. There's also one for the men in the family. And it's something we've, at different times and seasons in our home, have used. And that may you be like Ruth and Esther. And just this last birthday of one of my daughters-in-law, I WhatsApped. And I talked about that prayer with her, and I said that I saw in her the faithfulness of Ruth and the courage of Esther. And I blessed her with that. I blessed her with God's word to speak through WhatsApp. Because I'm a dad, and I want a father. And there's such an opportunity, and we've got the challenge of how do we help one another to develop in our homes a spirituality. Yes, a tradition. Not all tradition is bad. Yes, even ritual. That's not all bad. That will be anchor points for our children, that will give them encounters with God, with the Holy Spirit, and which will share very, very clearly that this faith we talk about on Sunday is so, so real that it permeates our family lives. Timothy, in his being equipped, had a discipling relationship with a spiritual father. Timothy, in his being equipped, had a godly home and foundation that had laid things in him that would last. And finally, Timothy had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. In the first letter of Timothy, there are details there of the laying on of hands, and Paul is quite specific that there was the laying on of hands from the presbytery, from the elders. So that was referring to when Timothy was set apart for ministry. But in this situation, it's not that. Paul is talking about when he laid hands on him, and he said, when I laid hands on you, and it was personal. And at another point, he tells him to stir up the gift of God that was in him and to take the vision and the encouragement of the words that were given. Our children need encounters with the Holy Spirit. Our children need the prophetic word of encouragement in the culture they're living in. They need that. And it's part of the equipping. And I know for many, the some of the experiences of the Holy Spirit, you may have been wounded. You may have got questions. But it's an essential part of our relationship and our walking with God and to share. Jesus said of the kingdom, of such are the children. It was made. The children have been made for the kingdom of God. There is a kingdom shape inside them that will respond. They will respond to the spiritual input that we bring to them. And the earlier they're grounded in it, the stronger they will be. Timothy's growth as a young man. out on mission trips and journeys, growing with his spiritual father in a discipling relationship, from a home that was impregnated with the spirituality that would be his foundation in life, from an encounter with the Holy Spirit. What are we going to do with the word that we hear on a Sunday? Do we go home and say, that was good? Do we, on the way out, say, thank you, Pastor? A friend of mine in ministry once said that congregation were going out and one lady came up to him and shook his hand and said, oh, Pastor, that really moved me this morning. To which his immediate response was, where to? What do we do with the words that we receive Sunday by Sunday? And again, that comes back to our understanding where so often we just take it cerebrally that teaching is acquiring facts. It's more about what we do with those facts. So can we receive the challenge and say, there are some questions for your home groups, just to unpack that. But can we ask ourselves, are we involved in discipling? Can we think, how do we prepare our children for the adventure of growing in the kingdom? How do we do that? Can we help one another as families to bring good traditions into our families? What meal during the week, or once a month, or special occasion, could you celebrate communion around your home table? Can we encourage one another and have the koinonia, the fellowship, where you will go to somebody else that you're close with within the fellowship or even within your home group and say, next month I want to do a communion for one of our meals and teach the children. Will you pray for me? And will you ask me how it got on? So that we encourage one another in fellowship to not just hear the word, but to do it. Can we be hungry for a move in the ministry of the Holy Spirit amongst our children?